Welcome to Boutique Builders. This series is designed to showcase those brave enough to launch their own investment ventures and better understand the challenges, opportunities, and unexpected outcomes that occur when you go it alone. In this week's episode, we're going to focus on one topic in particular, recruitment. We're constantly told asset management is a people business, but how much more importance does that take on when you're running a smaller team and also not able to rely on a heavily stocked HR department? Guiding us through this chat is Glenn Finnegan, who some of you may know from his time running emerging market equities at Janus Henderson and First State, which is now First Sentier. In 2019, Glenn, along with a number of former colleagues, decided to establish Skerryvore, an EM-focused boutique which has the backing of Bembridge. In our discussion, Glenn talks about the efforts to support and develop staff in a small team, the juggling act of remote working, and why control of culture was such an important reason for starting the company in the first place. Enjoy.
Let's kick off then. So, Glenn, can we talk about this idea is this journey from employee to co-managing partner? So let's talk about the partnership structure of Skerryvore, why you chose this model, and also what that then means for the way the business is run and you recruit for that business.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so thanks and thanks for having me on to talk. So Skerryvore was founded by eight founding partners who have a long track record of working together at large corporates. We chose to sort of strike out on a more independent route in 2019 and create Skerryvore, built very much around a philosophy that we have run clients' money for over 20 years. Well, certainly for me, in my case, over 20 years. The purpose of the partnership, I think, was to, all of us really had experienced some of the events out with our control that took place working for larger corporates. And it was a desire for independence and control, investment leadership over a business rather than sort of corporate leadership over a business. And it was established as a vehicle to deliver this philosophy consistently to clients all around the world. And as a vehicle for myself and my co-founding partners to work in for the rest of our careers, free from the concerns of M&A, management changes, all of the things that can lead to sort of uncertainty and frankly, the type of not useful stress that, you know, there is a degree of stress about running investment portfolios and it can be useful, but the sort of corporate stuff out with your control as an investment team is not helpful, distracting. And Skerryvore was established as a vehicle for us to, you know, focus entirely on delivering our philosophy to clients. It's an LLP, so we are all partners and owners, you know, of the business. And I think maybe a little unusually for this type of boutique startup, although I'm the lead investor in our team, I'm not the controlling shareholder here. We've spread the controlling votes broadly across the team. And, you know, we have other investors working with me. We have extremely impressive lady Karen Lumsden, who essentially runs all of the non-investment functions as a partner. Our head of trading, Ben Lawson, is a partner. And our head of sort of client interaction, Ian Tabber, is a partner. So there isn't really the sort of natural hierarchy of an investment business that I have struggled with a bit through my career. You know, the sort of them and us, sort of front and back office and what have you. Really, everybody here works together as partners to try to deliver to the best of our ability, our philosophy to clients.
Looking at the way that it has been structured then, because one of the things I'm interested in is how you develop the business and how you recruit, how you attract people. How many employees do you have at the moment and how big could you be if that's not sort of running before you can walk?
The founding group essentially were the original people working at Skerryvore back in 2019. We've subsequently brought on three employees in the process of bringing on a fourth. So yeah, I mean that's been a journey thinking about, you know, how we maintain the sort of lack of hierarchy that kind of underpins our culture, I think. Through partners and into employees, and that's, you know, led us to think very carefully about the type of individuals that we hire. I think another feature is we think there's an opportunity to build a multi-generational business here. You know, within the founding group, you've got me and a few others who are late 40s, a couple have turned 50. We have a middle tier of people in their 30s. And one of the first employees that we brought into the business actually was a graduate trainee, a young lady, who we'd come across through the network of people that we talked to around Edinburgh, and bringing on a graduate trainee, we really had to think very carefully about the type of, it's obviously a young person, early 20s, but we really needed someone who would slot into the wider group, if you like. So a lot of thought went into the maturity of the person that we were considering for the sort of graduate trainee role. We've subsequently, and I think when it comes to hiring, I think, and this includes choosing partners, I think having an awareness of what you don't know is extremely important. So, for example, it would have been easy for us as an investment team, to think that we could, outsource all of our operational issues, and certainly we do outsource a lot of functions. But, I think we recognized early in thinking about establishing a boutique the need for one of the partners, one of the founders, to have deep operational rather than investment experience. And that led us, to approach Karen. Karen is the co-lead managing partner, was alongside me, and has power over all things out with decisions within the portfolios, really. So I think recognizing what you don't know is very important, and we've sort of used that principle in thinking about expanding our team. So out with thinking about the junior, the next generation of investors, we've always, and I think one of the reasons that we've been able to grow our business is we're seen as leaders in sustainable investing. Our approach to investing in emerging markets is viewed as a very sustainable approach. But we're operating in a world where the regulatory environment around sustainability is changing. So the lawyers are heavily involved in definitions of sustainability and what have you. And whilst I think we've gone out of our way not to label our strategy as a sustainability, as explicitly as a sustainability strategy, we recognize we needed expertise, and that led us to our second employee, which is an extremely experienced lady, over 26 years experience in the industry, who has worked in this area and has been able not necessarily to change how we invest, but to make sure that we're how we're communicating what we invest is, it really is at the sort of the leading edge of the industry. So again, it's thinking about what you don't know, and what blind spots you might have that you need to cover, and looking to sort of hire to cover for that. And then I'm managing growth. I mean, the business has grown despite setting it up just before a global pandemic. We've been able to grow the business, both in size, but also internationally. We have clients in New Zealand and Canada and everywhere in between. And, building our team out sort of ahead of to be able to manage that growth is important as well. And we've been able to bring on one and subsequently soon two client service management people who, are allowing us to manage a business that becomes more complex the more international it becomes and the larger it becomes. So we feel, obviously believe we're very, very well resourced, but we are very clear that we don't want to become an enormous company. I think they are. We've always said we don't think you should have any more than 10 people in an investment team. We're not there yet, so we have scope to bring on future graduates, and we need to have the in-house support, that we need with the operational experience that doesn't sit inside the investment group, and we need to make sure that we're covering and moving with all the sort of regulatory developments around the industry. So being resourced on that side as well is extremely important.
One thing that I'm interested with this theme particularly is that move from managing money to managing people. How have you found that transition personally? Have there been, and again, I think you may have covered it there, but have there been things you've had to learn along the way? Is it something you found you enjoy, perhaps unexpectedly? What's that journey been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of been on this journey through for 20 years. I mean, I just started out as a junior analyst on an investment team. Gradually, you know, through experience and I guess sort of proving myself, I was able to get into a position of portfolio management, but not sort of team management. I left, this is at a firm called First State. Back in sort of 2015, I joined another firm called Henderson, where my role was the head of emerging markets. So I had to build a team, and that was a new challenge for me. I had experience and a good track record running emerging market funds, but I hadn't built an emerging markets team. And that was the sort of the challenge, and which I kind of, I guess I grew, I sort of learned the sort of the managing people side of things, over that sort of through that period. And now, you know, with Scary War beginning in 2019, it is sort of the, hopefully sort of the, you know, the next chapter of learning, which is, you know, running a business, never mind bringing a team. But I think it's very important to get the distinction, you know, between being an employer and being a partner. You know, I'm very much one of the partners in this business. So, you know, from a sort of a traditional hierarchical management perspective, it's we don't operate like that. I mean, we take it in turns to put the bins out. You know, that's a new function since leaving a large corporate. You didn't have to do that there. And so, you know, I think, you know, everyone, I think the culture you can foster around the idea of partnership, it actually removes, so long as all the partners are philosophically aligned, you know, it removes a lot of the kind of management headaches that you might experience in a corporate.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think, well, I suppose linked to that then, because you mentioned there launching in 2019, I think we all knew what came after that. The work from home, remote working thing is a challenge at the best of times, but for a new business, I imagine that brought even more stress onto trying to develop something. And how did you and the managing partners manage to navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think, well, we probably wouldn't have rented a large office in Edinburgh if we'd seen it coming. So yeah, I mean, some things clearly we would have done differently. But I think one of the things is we are a team who had worked together for a long time. And even, you know, even Karen and Ben on operations and trading worked with me at First State for many years prior to me going off to Henderson. So there was a lot of, mutually earned trust, I guess, between the group. So that made the sort of working from home period a lot easier. I think if you were trying to do something from scratch without that kind of long relationship, it might have been very difficult. You had the concern that, you know, institutional clients could potentially down tools, but I think we were very pleasantly surprised that, you know, that the large consultants and the biggest institutions pretty rapidly adjusted to home working. And in fact, we, you know, even the way we interact with many of our clients today continues to have strong elements of, you know, that were developed through that period, you know, because do you need to visit Australia as often as you used to visit Australia if you can have high quality interactions, you know, online and all of those. So I think there's been positive things to come out of it. One of the things I would say as a challenge that we haven't faced, and that's been getting people back to the office. People want to come to work. I think we've gone out of our way to try to create an environment that people, you know, want to be working in. And I feel very strongly, I've always, throughout my experience managing money, that, you know, investment is a contact sport. You have to be able to disagree with your colleagues, and you have to be able to do it constructively in a way that doesn't, you know, protects relationships. But if you can't disagree with one another, you in a constructive manner, you don't have a proper investment business. And I've always found that aspect of the job is more difficult, you know, online, definitely on emails. And, you know, you think you're being constructive, and the other person reads it completely differently. So sitting together in an office around a table, I think, you know, is the most productive way to work through investment ideas and hopefully deliver, you know, the best ideas for into the portfolio. So getting people back into the office has been important. We have, you know, we've had elements, you know, obviously, like everyone, you know, I think we all work a bit more flexibly than we used to. And that's, you know, that's no different here. But at that core, this, and I've heard and I've read in the newspaper, you know, the resistance to coming back to work. I think again, maybe it comes back to the culture of partnership and what have you. We haven't faced that, so that's been a positive. And just on other things, you know, we've had one of our colleagues, you know, come back from maternity leave through the first few years of setting up and managing all those other sorts of, you know, life events and trying to, you know, have a culture that you know, people want to come back to. I think, you know, keeping the most talented women in the workforce, you know, throughout having families is important. Well, it's a loss for us. It's a loss for the industry. So it's been good, but you have to have a culture that people want to come back to.
Well, yeah, I think the use of culture there, I think, is key, because, I mean, in the one that we've recorded these already and in a conversation I had last year, and I know this isn't a new phrase, but somebody said to me, culture eats strategy for breakfast. So even if you have a good strategy for your boutique, if people don't want to be there or don't feel like they can flourish there, that's going to be challenging. So I think putting that culture at the corner of things, and from the sounds of it, that is a key concern. And it looks like something you've had the opportunity to address from the outset, and you've really put at the center of what you're trying to do. At least that's what it seems like from the outset.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. I mean, it was the reason to leave the corporates was, you know, the lack of control over culture and the external influences, you know, that could be brought to bear over the team and the strategy we were trying to implement and what we promised to deliver to clients. So yeah, there's no point in trying to recreate something like that. You know, what we want Scarifor to stand for is we want to clearly stand for the investment philosophy, and we don't want conflict. So for example, you know, we worked hard to think of a tagline for our approach, and we talk about being far-sighted and fair-minded investors in emerging markets, and we therefore our business should be run in a far-sighted and fair-minded way, and that, you know, that's everything through to sort of career opportunities for people within the team, to compensation, all of those things, you know, need to be both far-sighted and fair-minded. And I think as well, it's important that people don't perceive contradictions. You know, I think it's important that all of the partners, and particularly younger members of the team and even interns, when they start asking questions about the type of businesses that we invest our clients' capital in, you know, that there aren't contradictions there. You know, I think one thing that, you know, just as an example, over the period, our strategies, you know, had no exposure to Russia, which I think a lot of emerging markets found themselves, you know, somewhat caught out in. And the reason we had no, you know, that's good that we didn't for clients, but the reason we didn't wasn't that we'd taken some short-term view on Russia. A far-sighted and fair-minded approach to identifying high-quality managers who've operated with integrity, which is how we try to do things, you know, could not identify businesses in Russia that, you know, that met our philosophical needs. So we've really worked hard to try to ensure that, you know, what we say we do is what we do. It's also how we act towards one another.
Glenn, I think that's a great point to finish on. I think it's a great message to put across. So thank you very much for joining me today.
Not at all. Thank you.